You have the Word of God, please take the Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 14. We have been looking in great detail about emotions, and I'm going to break off from that. There's just one or two more that I want to cover, because I really sense that many Christians, and I've been analyzing my own life, how we are really emotionally driven, not led, emotionally driven. And if we're being emotionally influenced, that means the Holy Spirit of God has to take a back seat in many things and situations in our life. And that is not God's way. God desires that He be our leader by the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus Christ be in the forefront. We hear His voice. We follow Him. And we are so perplexed at times by a variety of different emotions. We looked at bitterness, we looked at fear, guilt, shame, and insecurity. But I want to look at the antidote to those emotions this morning, because our Lord Jesus Christ was not an emotionally influenced individual. In other words, He did not let His emotions dictate His spiritual temperature for the day. He did not let His emotions lead Him, but He was led by His Father. And we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And we have a variety of things at different ages or of life that we may be experiencing. And these things may be depressing, discouraging, invoke emotions that are a part of us. But we should not let these emotions dictate to us God's will, God's direction for our life. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, I thought about a title today, and I think the best fitting title would be this: The Father Had Not Left Me Alone. And looking at the nation of Israel here, I thought, well, another good title would be Emotionally Entangled, because that's exactly where they were when they were fleeing the Egyptian army and about to cross the Red Sea, or go through the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14, I want to start in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and account before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness have shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Let me just say this right here. Your emotions do not want to let you go. Just like any chemical addictions, Satan does not want anybody to get victory over anything in their life. And I noted Wednesday night that we have to start looking at our emotions, not as some friend, not as some companion in this journey, but actually start looking at our emotions as a hostile force that attempts to rush the throne of God in our heart and dethrone God. Now, if we as individuals are supposed to forsake any type of sin, ask forgiveness of any type of sin, ask forgiveness of any type of idolatry, because idolatry is putting something before God, right? And so if we put something before God that becomes an idol and dethrones Jesus Christ from our heart, we need to look at our emotions that very way, because if something in our life becomes a more prevailing, prominent force that influences us over the Lord Jesus Christ, then that thing has preeminence in our life. Would you agree with that? And if it has preeminence, that goes against Scripture, because Paul said that Christ should have, may have, preeminence in our heart. And we, our emotions at times have the rule of the day, if we would be honest about the matter. So we see here that the Egyptians were pursuing the Israelite people. And the children of Israel thought to themselves, no doubt, how did I get into this situation? They probably thought, why is this happening to us? I thought God was just going to give us a clean break here, and we would be in the promised land, and there wouldn't be any issues. They may have thought, how can I get out of this? They no doubt thought that. You know, just like you and I, when we're in situations in life, and all our emotions, they begin to be tumultuous, and they begin to rule the day. Now, be honest, how many of you had those type of days? You see, God does not want us to live like we're on this sea of life where things just bounces us around. And we looked at the disciples when Jesus was in the boat, and they even accused the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, do you care that we perish? And you see, when we believe our emotions more than God's Word, we're following our emotions and not the God of our salvation. That's just the fact of the matter. You see, the last thought to enter their minds, which should have been the first thought, was this: how can I glorify God in this situation? If only we would look to the means of grace to glorify God in our situations, we would look at our emotions as a hostile force, not some friendly participant in life, but as an adversary. You see, God deliberately designed this event for the nation of Israel to teach them a very powerful and important lesson. And the basic three lessons were simply this: to destroy the thing that was a hindrance to them. How many times have we let our emotions rule the day to only come find out that God had intended to bring us through all the time, all along? And we've learned a perfectly good day about worrying about something. And a lot of times we run a perfectly good week or perfectly good situation because our emotions are ruling the day. The second thing the Israelites were trying to be taught was simply to build their confidence in their heart of God's power and faithfulness by His Word. And God was also trying to bring them to Himself, that they would know and honor Him as the light on earth. Now, jot these things down if you would. Number one here, first thing God was trying to teach them in verse 13. Let's drop down to Exodus 14, verse 13. And we've looked at fear, but we're not going to look at fear. We're going to look at the antidote to all this. In verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, what's these words here? Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, they were seeing something that was bothering them, and that what was bothering them was an invading army. And it was no doubt causing and invoking a lot of fear. You see, when dealing with our violent emotions in time, faith and confidence in the Lord is our only true hope. And the Word of God is the only thing in our life that's going to rein in our emotions. We can let our thoughts go in a certain direction, and if you really pay attention to them, our minds have not strayed from being that of a little child. Because you can start off on one step, and then you can think, well, if that's happened, then this is going to happen. And then by the third step, you know, you're dealing with this big green three-eyed monster, something like a kid would fabricate in their mind. Now, be honest, how many of you thought about something, and the more you think about it, the more worse it's going to get, because this can happen, and then this could happen, and then this is going to happen because that happened. And then you find yourself, you're not worried about something that what is, you're worrying about what if that happens. And your emotions are totally out of control, and you're being led and dictated by emotions. You see, God was trying to free them from things that they were in bondage to. And He wanted them to know and recognize His power, know and recognize His love. You see, we cannot trust our emotions. We must make a deliberate choice to trust God. There are times when we must choose an attitude that is opposite to how we feel, because we've looked at how we feel. Oftentimes, if we believe how we feel, which is an emotion, if we believe it, that is what is empowered and emboldened in our life. You see, they had to make a choice to choose God. God says, look, you're not going to see your problem anymore. Matter of fact, what you see right now, they're going to go away. You see, faith in God during a crisis puts the matter in God's hands. And as long as we're trying to figure it out and work it out, the matter is not going to be in God's hands. It's still in our hands. Therefore, we are the ones who are responsible for solving it. And if we could solve it, we wouldn't be worrying about it. You see, when we put it in God's hands, that makes God responsible for His children. God put them in this situation. He says, turn here and tell them to encamp before Pahai-Roth between Migdol and the sea over against Beth-Zaphon before you shall camp by the sea. God had already preordained this thing. He had prearranged this thing. You see, faith will not have free course with uncontrolled emotions. Cast out fear and trust God. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And the fact that we're in fear means that we don't believe in our loving Heavenly Father. And that may be convicting, but that's the fact of the matter. The first thing God was trying to get across to them was, look, fear not. And then the second thing was this. He told them, notice here in verse number 13, I want to read this again. This is very important. He says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and what's this word here? See the salvation of the Lord. Now, many years ago, especially when I was young, I would try to sense God's presence. And that takes some growth and understanding the Lord. But I'll be honest with you, there are times that, you know, I get concerned about things or discouraged or depressed or fearful, whatever the emotion may be. And I try to sense God and I don't sense God anywhere. And that's a little bit of a disturbing thing. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is a sensory thing. And if you could see it, if you could like see God, well, it wouldn't require faith that He is there. And so what God was trying to get Israel to understand, even though they could not see Him with their naked physical eye, they were absolutely going to see His results. And when you and I cannot see God's hand, we can certainly see His results. And he was trying to tell the nation of Israel, to look, stand still and see. He didn't say you're going to see the Lord. He said you're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. And what at times we may not be able to see God in our midst, in our circumstances, but we can have enough faith that our God said He's going to be there with us. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And we can have enough faith that we might not be able to sense God's presence, but we can see His deliverance when it happens. Now, I want to read some Bible verses to you that have been certainly an encouragement to me. And you might not need this sermon right now, but you might one day. So please take good notes. Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse 29. Deuteronomy means second giving, second chance. Aren't you glad we serve a God of second chance? Amen. See, this is where the second law came, because the first tablet was destroyed. Deuteronomy 1:29, the Bible says, "Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them." Now, you're speaking of the giants in the promised land. And that's where we've gotten our emotional list from, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. But God's saying, look, be not afraid of them. Dread not them. How many of you have had a sense of dread, just dreading something? Kind of just zaps all your joy and your faith and everything. "Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be," what? "Afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in," where? "Egypt, before your," what? "Eyes." That's powerful. Because as Moses stood there and those winds began to blow, he raised the rod of God and the waves were beginning to part. And as the children of Israel was following the leading of God through that terrible and great water on dry ground, as they began to follow him and grow through that water, they had an enemy that was not willing to let them go. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some sin perhaps in your life today that does not want to let you go. There's some emotions that have just dogged you and tracked you like a predator all your life. They're not willing to let you go. And they're going to follow you and try to follow you even through the redemptive water of the Red Sea. I'm saying that metaphorically. That redemption is only in Christ. Amen. But they try to follow you into areas where God does not want these things to go and follow you and hound you all your life. You see, when the Israelites tried to go through that wall of water and follow the Egyptians, what happened? God collapsed that wall of water, and all of a sudden the Bible says that the Israelites saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians floating on the water. I'm going to tell you something. When you see the deliverance of God, it is a faith builder and a confidence builder that our God is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, you might not be able to sense His hand right there, but you can see what He will do as He delivers. As He delivers. Verse 32. No, let's go to verse 31. "And in the wilderness where thou hast," what's this word here? "Seen." You see that again? You might not be able to see God with your visible eye. Jesus is in heaven. He's not with us like He was with the disciples. You can't see Him, but you can see the results of Him being there. "And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man," oh, this is tender, "as a man beareth his son in all the way that ye went." There wasn't a step that they took without Him being there. There wasn't a grain of sand that the sole of their shoe touched without not God being there. There's not a thing that you and I face without our God not being there. Not one thing. "In all the way that you went, until you came into this place." Now here's the problem. We can look back and say, "God, I know what you did back yonder in 19 whatever. And I know what you did in 2001. And I know what you did in 2003. But I'm facing something different today. Now I'm in this place." Did your mind ever run that gauntlet of thought? "Lord, now I'm facing something I didn't face back then. This is different, Lord." Listen, our trials may be different, but we serve a Lord that is the same yesterday and today and forever. So it doesn't matter if our trials are different. He's still the same. He's still the same. He has not lost His power because He is all power. His power does not diminish. So faith in God, trust that He is there. Trust that He is there. Trusting God is near, bestows comfort, and it restrains our emotions to doubt our Father. To doubt our Father. I want you to go to John, if you would, please. Chapter number 8. Now, I alluded earlier that this is how the Lord Jesus Christ lived His life. He did not let His emotions cast a shadow over His spirit, but He let His spirit, the Holy Spirit, guide Him. He let the Holy Spirit lead Him. He did not let His emotions rage and get out of control. He saw His emotions, no doubt, as a hostile force, as an enemy. If you think about everything He faced, that he would be tempted to feel bitterness at the people who were hostile against Him. He would tempted to feel alone and abandoned. Because one day on Calvary's cross, that dark black cloud, his own father was at a moment in time going to turn His back on Him. All this He knew was going on, but at this moment in His ministry, He left us these comforting words. And here's the point. Because God turned His back on His own Son, God does not and will not turn His back on you and I. So let's not even think that theologically. Theologically impossible. Why? Because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. And I just want to note that. So Jesus comforted Himself in these words in John 8. Look here in verse 29. This ought to make you tap your toe and say amen. Verse 29. And He sent me. And He that sent me is what? With me. The Father hath not left me alone. He hath not left me alone. You see, God was trying to teach His people. You might not be able to actually see me, but you need to train yourself to visualize I am there. Because He is. The Father hath not left us alone. Why? Because of Calvary. Whatever you're facing today, the Father hath not left you alone. Now, the best way to develop an awareness of God's presence is to speak to Him often, daily, as if He is actually there. Now, Pastor, you're getting a little spooky here. You're telling me to speak? Well, you pray, don't you? Speak to Him. Ron, can you hand me that hymn book? See, I needed this hymn book, and I asked Ron to help me because he's right there with it, next to it. If we begin to speak to Jesus just that in that fashion, Lord, I need You right here. Right here. Can You help me with this right here? We begin to speak to the Lord just like that. We will have an awareness of His presence and a daily walk with Him that is just incredible. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 42. You see, God was in the business of training His people. Jesus was in the business of training His disciples. Isaiah 42. Verse number 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I'm going to stop. Is everybody there? I want you to get this. Everybody there? 42:6, Isaiah. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy what? Amen. If you're going to hold somebody's hand, now this is really rudimental, but please bear with me. I'm trying to drive this point home. If you're going to hold somebody's hand, how close do you have to be? Pretty close, right? God says, I'm going to hold your hand. So I don't sense God's there. Ignore your emotions. Trust God's word. He says, I'm going to hold your hand. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles. You know what? When God says, I'm going to hold your hand, He's going to hold your hand. Now, let's back it up and go to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. See, this is the antithesis against our emotions. That our Father hath not left us alone. Deuteronomy 4. Don't you just appreciate the faithfulness of our God? Deuteronomy 4. Verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. You see that? It's talking about keeping God's word. Have you not had God's word preached to you thus far this morning? Will you keep this? Follow with me. Verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your what? Wisdom and what? Understanding in the sight of nations. How can you deal with this? What you're going through? Someone may ask. Because my Father have not left me alone. My Father have not left me alone. Which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7 is where I really want to get you to. For what nation is there so great? Or you can say, what person? What person is there so great who hath God so, what's this word here? Nigh unto them. Think about that. You know why God's so nigh to us? Again, hey, it's because of Calvary. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are bought by His blood. Now let's read on. It gets better. As the Lord your God, you see this? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him, what? For. God, I'm facing something right here. Well, my Bible says He's going to hold our hand. That means He's close. And not only that, Deuteronomy 4, verse 7 says, God's in everything that His people ask Him to get in on. That ought to encourage you this morning. Is God really going to help me? Your Bible says. Your Bible says that God is going to get in on what His people ask Him in prayer to get involved in. Do you believe your Bible this morning? Or are you believing your emotions? You see, faith, our eyes tells us to look at the obstacles. But faith tells us to look to Jesus and trust His Word. Amen. What inspires confidence in God is when the individual is cared for by God Himself. That inspires confidence in our God. A confidence is called forth by trust because God can deliver. Because God can deliver. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. You ever wonder what made Paul so great? Let me tell you what made Paul so great. Two words. My God. Think about it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. My God shall. You see, Paul had his direction right. He had his confidence placed in the right position. My God. And then he knew by faith that that God was going to do something. My God shall supply. Are you with me? 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will, what's this word here?
Preserve.
We looked at this word in great detail the other night in the Old Testament in a variety of different places. Psalms 86 verse 2, where God talks about preserving His people. And that word in particular in the Old Testament, it talks, the definition of, in the metaphorical language implies that God cares about your emotional well-being. But He can't do anything about it unless you trust Him. God cares about how we feel about situations. But He can't do anything about it unless we trust Him. You see, confidence in God. When you see those dead Egyptians floating, you might not sense His presence, but you can sense that He's been there. And He was there when you didn't realize He was, because you see the results of His hand. And Paul knew this time and again in his life. And he says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, so learn, number two, learn to visualize God's presence, because He is there. He said He's going to hold your hand. And He says, not only am I going to hold your hand, I'm going to get in on what you're asking me to get involved in. Deuteronomy 4:7. Does that encourage you this morning? Let's go to the next, back to Exodus, if you would, please. Chapter 14. We'll conclude with this. All right, let's go. Last one, there's a rotten egg. Now, some of you have those little cheater tabs. That's cheating. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Exodus 14, verse 14. All right. Number three, apply God's promises to your situation. Apply God's promises to your situation. Verse 14. The Lord shall what? Now listen. You know how God fights for us today? God, even in the Old Testament, we read the Bible and it's like, wow, it's full of miracles. It is a lot of miracles, but God didn't always deliver by a miracle. He just worked things out. Okay? Now, God wants to work in our situation, but how does He do that? We have to apply. You ever got a little poison ivy? You got some cortisone or whatever? I know I'm making some of you itch. But the medicine does no good if it stays in the tube. It has to be what? Applied. God's Word. And it's just that simple, folks. Listen, stay with me. In order for God to work, the Word of God has to be applied. And it cannot be applied and get the full effect unless it's trusted. Unless it's, the Word of God is trusted. And the one who gave the Word is fully trusted. Because God says, "The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace." That means you got the emotions down and your faith up. When God has proven Himself true, the light of heaven will liberate the entangled soul and be free from the emotional chains that were present. The fear, the insecurity, the guilt, the shame, the bitterness, it's all gone. You see it floating on the sea because God did something. All those things are gone because God delivered. You see, only a watchful, caring Father that arranges and guards and guides His children can bring about our victory. There is no chance in life. There's no fate in life. There's only faith in God that brings us the victory. Faith is believing what God has said, it will come to pass. Can you put a promise on God's, on your situation today? You see, faith lives in a promise just like a fish lives in water. Faith lives in a promise. Do you have God's promise? Do you have something to apply to your situation? Sure you do. You have the Word of God. You see, when the Israelites got to the Red Sea, it was a test. And everything after that was a test. And it was a test. Can you learn to apply God's Word to your situation? Faith, then, is applying God's Word to our situations in life. And faith realizes God's power to work. His power does not work on reason. It will not work when emotions are raging. But it works when a deliberate choice is made to believe God. That's when faith works. You see, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He did not consider his own flesh, but he trusted in God's Word. You see, faith is not needed where there are no obstacles. Are you facing obstacles today? Well, you see, that is where faith is needed. But faith will ignore these obstacles because God says, I will not leave you alone. Some of you may have trusted God for many things in your life, but today you're facing something. And you're saying, is God with me? Is God really involved in this? Is he watching here? Well, He says, I'm going to hold your hand. You see how close your neighbor's hand is to you? That's how close God is to His people. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, we need to learn, thirdly, to apply God's promises to the situation. And let God deliver. I used illustration Wednesday night about championship football team, and they asked one of the players, how do you guys win championships? He said, did you start the season out determined to win the championship? And the guy said, no. He said, well, did you start out every game trying to win the game? No. So, well, how do you end up being champions? How do you wind up being a champion? He said, very simple. We never went out to win a game. We never went out to score a touchdown. But what we did do, we went out on every play. We were determined to run a perfect play every time. And because we ran a perfect play every time, we scored touchdowns. And because we scored touchdowns, we won games. And because we won all of our games, we're champions. You don't know how you're going to win life. It's getting up every day and running a perfect play. And realizing God's there with us running these plays. Even when you seem like you're losing. God said, Jesus said, my Father hath not left me alone. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, asking God, you just do your work right now in our midst, in our heart, what some may be dealing with, some things that we may be facing, and our emotions getting out of control. The antithesis to a runaway emotions is a trust in our Heavenly Father, faith in Him. Lord, you tell us to fear not. Then you were trying to teach the Egyptians to realize your presence is there. And then to apply your word so you can work through your word. Father, help us today to allow you to work in our situation. There's no doubt some are facing things, incredible things.
But Father, we know You're on Your throne. We know that theologically. And we may even have experienced that in the past. But Lord, we're facing something new today. Multiple things, perhaps. Father, we come to You to trust You for Thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name.